Theme music. Sing.
I don't have any.
Sing.
No.
Hello, welcome to the Random Podcast from Heck, episode 3. I am Tony Guerrero.
And I'm Sky Guerrero.
And we are here to talk to you about different stuff, whatever stuff. Big shout out to patron extraordinaire Dave McPhail. So thank you, Dave. If you would like to help support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/gmanfromheck, and there's different tiers, different things, and I'll give some more detail on one of the special things coming up starting in October. So, Sky.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. So this week, let's see, I'm trying to think if there's anything big, crazy that happened like in the news and entertainment news. We are getting closer to new TV starting.
Yeah, so excited.
What are you most excited for?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's not going to be for a while.
Okay, well, I've been excited since the last season ended, so I'm still excited for that.
So the last season ended on a huge cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can talk spoilers because it's been on Netflix for a while, so people are probably watching, and if they haven't been watching, then I don't know what to tell you. But all the LMD stuff, all the Darkhold, all the what was her name? Madam Hydra.
Ada.
All that stuff was resolved, concluded. But the way it ended is the entire team, not the entire, well, the few main characters, the only ones that really matter, they were enjoying some downtime. You know, they won the battle. They went to a diner to eat. It was a little cheesy. I was like,
was
supposed to be
cute.
I was like, it was supposed to be like Avengers at the first Avengers when they're eating the, was it shawarma or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
That's up. And then the power goes out. Now, did they get like frozen? Or did they?
Didn't
like freeze.
Come in and get them.
Yeah, so because people came in, but did they like, I'm trying to think back now. It wasn't that long ago, because somehow they got knocked out.
Yeah, I think so.
But then it goes to Coulson waking up. He's like in a cell or some room.
Yeah.
And then he puts on his slippers or shoes or something like that. And he goes out, opens this window. What happened?
I don't know.
Where was he?
I don't remember.
He was out in space.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. I don't like that.
So it's like, what the heck does this mean?
I don't like space.
And we still got to watch Gravity.
No, I'm not watching that movie.
Why not?
Because it scares me.
How does it scare you? You're afraid that you're going to go up in space and get...
Yeah, I've never been an astronaut.
Somehow, Coulson, we don't know if the entire team, probably, they end up in space. And, you know, because this was back in May, so it's like, are they going to tie into Guardians of the Galaxy? No, of course not. I have no idea why. You know, they're probably just like in some space station. And they're not like in a regular spaceship because... Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have spaceships, or people on Earth don't have spaceships. So,
most likely.
It'll be interesting with Avengers Infinity Crusade, because the Guardians of the Galaxy are supposed to be in that.
Yeah.
So we're going to see Star-Lord, because I don't think Star-Lord's been on Earth since he was a kid. I don't know if he ever made it back. You would think he would go back to try to get some more music or something. and you know, he must not have any relatives, because...
No.
His grandfather...
He's probably passed away.
Yeah, by now, maybe. But yeah, so maybe he didn't have anyone else. But you would think he'd want to go back after, you know, when he finally got a ship. And because even in going back to the first movie, he was on his own in the Milano. Because before he met Gamora and Rocket and Groot and Drax, he could have easily... gone back to Earth. I mean, I don't know if maybe the ship doesn't have a cloaking device or it's just weird that he would be like, okay, this was my home planet. Yeah, I was taken as a kid, but I'm just never going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You would think he'd at least be curious, especially if he's so into the music. You know, you'd think he'd want to go back and just to check that out. But we'll have to see how they get pulled into it and what happens and how he's going to react, because he doesn't know any of the Avengers. He has no idea who Captain America is. And although, no, he might know who Captain America is, depending on when he's a kid. Just like how Coulson, you know, if there's any
trading cards.
Yeah. But this is a guy that's been, you know, from the 40s, so maybe, who knows? So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But going back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have to wait till January.
That's too long.
And so the good thing about it is once it starts, there'll be a new episode every week until the conclusion. So it's not going to be like, because normally it would start in September, October, and then December you'd get the big cliffhanger, and then it'd be 2 months off where they'd show Agent Carter or something. Mm. And then, and then it would come back for like a month, and then it would maybe take a week off and then come back. And so it'll just supposedly go straight. Now, the other thing, all I know, or all you can tell, because you follow Chloe Bennett on Instagram, and if you've noticed, you know, she posts a lot of Instagram stories, like sitting in her trailer, you know, before shoot, in the middle shoot, waiting or something like that. And on several of them, she's had like a cut lip. Yeah, she's been bloody. She's had like a black eye, I think.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, she's getting into some fights.
Yes.
Because she's, you know, like I said, cut lip and bruises. And so it looks like we'll get some action. That the weird thing is, because they weren't at San Diego Comic-Con, I wonder if they're going to be at New York Comic-Con, which I won't be there this year. I'm not going this year. You won't be there.
Wish.
Sadly, yeah. Maybe next year. Maybe with the help of Patreon, we'll make it there. But yeah, so that's just a few weeks away. But I wonder if they're going to be there, because we know nothing about the next season. Was it season 5 now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no idea. But I do hope that they do what they did this season, or this past season, where they kind of broke it up into different stories. And, you know, there was a connection.
Because
first we had Ghost Rider, and then we had like the Darkhold, or Ghost Rider and Darkhold, and we had Ada, and we had like the LMDs, and then we had the, what did they call it, the other world? Because it wasn't the Matrix. Because I was thinking about this recently, the other day. I was like, oh, I wonder what my life would be like over there. It was
in the,
it was what did they call it? Jeez. But yeah, so they had basically three different story arcs, and they were all kind of connected, but it was nice that they did that, because I think the problem when shows try having like one big story arc throughout the season, and then it's like, oh, everything gets wrapped up nice and neatly, you know, 22 episodes. But it's like, that's not how it always works. So if something happens in 8 episodes and something happens in 7 episodes, you know, so just, you know, break it down, and that'll be cool. So, and maybe we'll get more Hydra.
No. Don't like Hydra.
Okay. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen there. So our main topic that we're going to discuss this week is
Death Note.
Death Note. The Death Note movie premiered on Netflix last month on August 25th. And before it aired, you and I, we watched the anime. We watched all 37 episodes. And then we watched the movie, and I have the manga. I can't find all my books. I found like the last like 6 through 13 or 6 through 12 or whatever. Some interesting things, and you know, I talked about this before on the previous podcast, and you and I have talked about this a lot. When the Netflix movie was announced, there was a lot of outcry over the casting, because everyone's like, you know, this is from an anime, it's from Japan, and everyone almost is white.
Yeah.
So, you know, why are they doing that and all that? So there's a lot of outcry, a lot of people mad. And, you know, I go back and forth over this. You know, on the one hand, it's an American production. And, you know, it's more so in the movies. When you have the big movies, it makes sense. You want to cast a big, well-known actor. Someone who has the star power to bring people to the theaters. So whether it's a Brad Pitt or who else is there? George Clooney. You know, you know, unfortunately, a lot of your big actors are white dudes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it kind of can go both ways, where you're saying, well, the white dudes get all the big roles, so that's why they're more popular. And, you know, maybe that's part of it. And, you know, so yet something needs to change there. But with the Netflix show, they didn't really have any big name actors besides Willem Dafoe, who was, it was just his voice, and he did motion capture. So, you know, they could have hired anyone, but it took place in Seattle.
Framework.
The framework. Okay. For agents of shit. Where'd my water go?
I don't know.
I had water somewhere.
You have my tea.
Oh, I put water in the fridge. Oh. So, the framework. So, with the Netflix casting, you know, they could have cast anyone, but they, for whatever reason, they wanted to do it in Seattle. I think I read something that the director, the writer, whatever, said that he wanted to set it in Seattle. One is probably, that's where they were just going to film it and made it easier and all that. But I think he also wanted to separate it a little bit from the anime because they weren't going traditional, you know, story, because they kind of veered off a little bit. So kind of separated a little bit. So whether that's a good excuse or it's just, you know, a bad or just a made up excuse or whatever. So we have all that. And, you know, they could have cast anyone that, you know, whatever. I don't know. An interesting thing, a couple days ago, the director, he deleted his Twitter account because he was getting death threats.
Oh. I don't understand when people do that. It's not going to accomplish anything.
That's, Twitter is a great thing and is also a horrible thing.
Depends on who's using it.
Yeah, so the nice thing about Twitter is it kind of gives people access to celebrities and, you know, directors and, you know, and everyone. So you can at reply anyone and, you know, it's up to them whether they want to respond or not or just ignore it or filter it out. But I could see it, you know, if you're getting a lot of death threats and, you know, insults and stuff like that, it's just like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate that so many people are willing to do this. And, you know, they kind of feel like they, like, you know, they're protected against the anonymity of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you make a death threat in real life, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good. So it doesn't make sense when people get so angry over stuff like this, where by changing parts, and I'll say the Netflix Death Note was not great.
Yeah.
You know, there were some problems with it. There was a lot of potential, obviously, because it was a great story and the concept. But for whatever reason, they dropped the ball on some things. Regardless of that, we still have the manga. We still have the anime. We still have the Japanese live-action movies, which I think I have the first one. I think I have that on DVD somewhere. So I'd be curious. It'd be interesting for you to have that. Misa Misa was in that. When something like this happens and you know, people always complain, it's like, oh, you ruined my childhood or you did this or that. The other types of things, the other installments or whatever, the other versions, they still exist.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, they're saying, okay, we're going to erase everything. We're going to go into everyone's home and you know, destroy all their DVDs and videotapes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's nice that people get passionate when they really care about something. But at the same time, you don't own it, you know, and it's the same thing like with Star Wars. You know, a lot of people got angry Star Wars or Jar Jar Binks or, you know, whatever. And but it's like, you know, a lot of people complain about George Lucas. George Lucas could do whatever the heck he wanted when he had all the rights. And, you know, if he wanted to change the direction and make it a little bit more for the younger current generation, that was his choice. And despite what you think of the original trilogy, it didn't affect or didn't change the original trilogy. So it's just unfortunate people get so angry that they start throwing out the insults and the death threats and stuff like that. So it's, I just don't understand that. And it's just, it's too bad. And I always say, you know, you don't like something, you speak with your money, you know, and it's one thing where it's something like this Netflix, you know, you can't really do anything there. It's not like you're going to cancel your Netflix account because there'll be no way to show that. And, you know, I always tell people, like, when I was doing more comic reviews and people would complain about stuff, you know, write a review.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't just say, this sucks. Or, you know, try to be a little constructive, you know, what parts didn't work. And, you know, just go with that rather than just going straight to, you know, just a blah.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll start with the anime. So I mentioned 37 episodes. Because you've seen just a few anime here and there, so what's your thoughts on Death Note?
I love it. I think that it's funny and it's interesting. And it was like every time an episode ended, I'd be like, okay, another one, another one.
We watched so many. That one, yeah, one night, we were like up so late just watching and watching. And then we were going to try to finish them all. But I think then that's when you were going on a trip or something. Mm-hmm. And so we had to, we ended up, we had three left. It just, we didn't get a chance to watch them all. And then we had to watch them later. So yeah, I mean, and just the, you and I have talked about this, like just the animation. It's such a difference between, you know, Eastern and Western animation. And I don't know why American animation, you know, they've tried to change things and not necessarily mimic it or copy it, but there's just something about it, just the motion and the fluidity and just how things just look so detailed and smooth. And I, you know, so I wonder, like, the production cost. You know, does it cost more to make an anime and to just put in all those details versus maybe here they're just like, let's just crank it out and, you know, make it as fast as possible and as cheap as possible. So, you know, we have all that. And the idea, so for those who have no idea about Death Note, so we had some kid, he was like a high school kid.
Yes.
And this notebook falls out of the sky from like some demon dimension.
Death God.
Yeah. So a death god dropped a notebook and there's rules in there. So basically if you think of someone's face and you write their name in there, you will cause them to die. And more specifically, you could put this whatever reason, you know, how you want them to die, mm-hmm. by what thing. And you could control them, have them do certain things like, you know, walk out, you know, jump in the street and, you know, whatever. And I don't know, I don't remember if it was in the anime, but in the Netflix show, it said you can control someone for 2 days.
2 days before their death.
Yeah, so I don't remember if that was in the anime. So this kid starts doing this. He kind of had good intentions.
In the beginning, but he got carried away, in my opinion.
So even though he was killing people, you know, which he shouldn't be doing, but, you know, he felt like, I'm going to kill people who deserve to die. Like the criminal scum element or whatever, you know, have done horrible things. So he was doing this, but then as the attention grew on him, you know, he formed this identity, Kira.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so people started worshiping him. They, you know, thought it was great what he was doing. But then he kind of crossed some lines.
He did.
Like when the FBI were investigating him, he's like, well, I'm going to kill all the FBI agents looking at this. So before he was just killing guilty people. And then here he just killed all these FBIs just because they were...
Protect himself.
Yeah. They were going to expose him. And then we had L. He was the weird, mysterious detective guy that loved sugar. And he was also brilliant. He almost figures it out. Like, you know, soon he figures out, you know, he suspects that Light is Kira. Because his dad is the police chief or something like that. So, you know, he knows he had access to certain things. And Light is extremely intelligent. And he sees that. They kind of bring him in. Then we'll say something happens to L to kind of take him out of the game. And then we see that there's other people that, like, were kind of at an orphanage in the same place that L grew up. And they were, like, smart, extremely smart. And they were being groomed, trained to be his successor. So we had that. And so the thing about the anime is, because it spans several years. Because at one point, you know, he finishes high school. You know, and then they actually bring him into like the police force. He's going to university to college, and then he leaves to help with the task force to try to find Kira. But it was also L's way to kind of keep an eye on him and so forth. So, and then it just kept building and building and just kept going. The interesting thing about a lot of animes is they have conclusions. You know, like this one, it ended, and you know, sometimes they're shorter, sometimes they're longer, but that's always been one of the big difference between like a lot of Japanese stuff and US stuff. US, they try to keep it going as long as possible to, I guess, milk it for all they can. Now, with the US version, how would you say the US version compares to the anime?
Well, since it's like a different approach of the story. They changed a lot, I think. It was pretty good, but I would prefer the original story over this one.
It was weird because when it was first announced, I thought it was going to be like a Netflix series.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a TV series and, you know, they're going to expand more and you know, do whatever and you know, try to do more of the storylines. But then when they said it was just a movie, I was like,
how are you going to fit that?
Yeah. Which, you know, again, in Japan, they had, I think there's like three different movies. And I don't remember how much was in the first movie. Because I think the first movie came out in like 2007, 2008. I think it was like around, because I remember I watched it when Anime Vice was first starting out. So when I was helping out with that. And because I remember I got a review copy. Then I think maybe like the sequel was going to be showing, and I almost was going to go because I got a pass to see it, but then I ended up not being able to go or something. So, anyways, you know, so yeah, you could do it like that. You know, make it a series of movies. They just decided to do it like an hour and 40-minute movie, and the problem is it's like they cram too much at once. Well, even if we go back, starting with Light, how would you say what was your thoughts on like the Netflix version of Light?
The character was definitely different than the original, but I thought he was all right, but still, of course, I would prefer the original.
Yeah, because this one, he was kind of smart.
But it seemed that they stressed it, that he was intelligent.
Yeah, because, you know, he had a little business going where he had homework. And papers or whatever that he probably sold to other kids because he got in trouble when that got found in his backpack. So, you know, they're trying to show that he was smart. And he kind of did some things. Towards the end of the movie, his big, mm-hmm. you know, there was a very intricate plan. But he wasn't as intelligent as the anime version. Because this guy, man, he had, like, plans for everything. And also because the story was expanded so much more, there's more for him to do. So the TV one, he just seemed just like a pretty smart kid, but he still did some dumb things.
Yeah.
Because like right away, he tells that girl.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Well, but I guess it kind of makes sense in a way because, you know, you think of, you have a high school kid and, you know, he obviously had a crush on her. She was like a cheerleader and I don't know.
How did that not freak her out? The second somebody told me that, I would be like, I'm never talking to you again.
And that was a big risk that
he took. That's so weird.
So, you know, they kind of knew who each other were, but they weren't like in the same circle. I don't even know if he had any friends because he never talked to anyone else. It kind of came up and then he's like, oh, I can't tell you. And she's like, okay, fine. And then he's like, oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So it's like he told her because he wanted to impress her, mm-hmm. which is kind of typical. Well, it's kind of typical for a, you know, teenage boy. You know, he wants to try to, you know, he hears this, I got this power, I get this stuff, you know, so I'm something special, I have this ability and all this. So whether he was able to gauge how she would react or he just took a big risk, so he tells her, and like you said, you would freak out, you'd be like, but the thing is, if you did that, you would have to worry then.
That he was going to put my name in there.
Exactly. So you'd be like, oh, that's cool. Hey,
no, yeah. No, I'd politely like,
oh, look at the time. I got to get to class. Or I got to go write this paper.
Honestly, I'd be like, what a psycho that you would even think of using that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you always think about it. It's like, oh, this person deserves to die or this or that or some evil dictator. No, I'm not saying you. No, I'm saying in general. Really. Yeah. But, like, you know, you think about someone who does horrible things and, you know, there's all that. But that is for the court to decide. Now, unfortunately, sometimes the court doesn't always get things right. Like, I really don't want to get into...
But I cannot get started on that topic.
So, over the weekend, because we talked about it in the car, mm-hmm. about stuff going down in St. Louis. Yeah. According to, you know, the reports, whatever, you know, a kid was shot and killed by a police officer, and he was acquitted. I haven't watched the video stuff. I haven't followed the story that closely as it happened, you know, when it first happened. But, you know, supposedly there's audio of him saying he was going to kill the kid, and I think he didn't have a gun, and they might have planted a gun. You know, I don't have all the details because I kind of didn't want to, you know, see all this horrible stuff. Here's a situation where, assuming that this cop was at fault mm-hmm. and did kill this kid when he shouldn't have, all this stuff like that. He is free to go. So some people might be like, well, he doesn't deserve to be free and he doesn't, you know. But right. then there's a question, does he deserve to die? Well, you could say, yeah, well, maybe, because if he killed his kid with no reason, you know, then, you know, whatever, you know, all this. Or should he just be locked up and, you know, does he deserve to die? You know, there's a whole question of, you know, do you believe in death penalty? And, you know, there's so much that could go into that. So, you know, you could look at, should the book be used, but... to just, you know, a high school kid tell someone else, like, hey, I can kill anyone. Watch this.
No.
It's just...
like, even if it's somebody absolutely terrible, like, how could you face yourself, even if you knew, like, to you, if you're like, this person deserves to die, still you'd be like, I am the one that killed them. Like, I don't think I could live with that.
Yeah, so you think about, like, in the old days when they had the executioner that would, you know, chop someone's head off.
Oh, I couldn't do that either.
It's like
there's a reason he had to wear a hood, because people would go after him. I'd be terrified of that.
Or they wouldn't necessarily go after him, but they might be like, you know, they don't want to get on his wrong side or anything. You know, they would be afraid of him. So the idea of living with the fact that you ended someone's mm-hmm. life, and whether that's your job, they deserve, you know, all that stuff like that, mm-hmm. it's still the fact that you ended it, you stopped it. Yeah. And even like when the states that do have the death penalty, you know, whether you're the one that flips the switch for the electric chair, or you're the one that, you know, puts in the injection. So it's just like, how do you live with yourself? And even if they're horrible, evil, it's just like, someone else can have this job.
Yeah.
So we had that. So Light wasn't the best. And that this girl, I forget what her name was, but it wasn't, I kind of felt like she was sort of like Misa. But didn't have her, you know, she wasn't like a musician, model, or all that. But, you know, she did quickly buy into the idea of Kira and using the book, all that.
Which is a little questionable that you're just so on board with that quickly.
Yeah. We had her. Let's go to Ryuk. how did you think of the live action Ryuk,
I liked him.
Shimigami.
Was it the same voice? As in the...
No.
It wasn't? Because it sounded pretty good to me.
Yeah, so this is Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
Who he was the Green Goblin in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and a bunch of other stuff. He did a good job with the voice. And in the credits, you know, they show him with the motion capture stuff. But Ryuk was all CG. They didn't show him a lot.
Yeah, in the beginning it was like they would show him either blurry or behind something. And then they showed the front of his face.
Yeah. And it felt like, I don't know what the budget of this was, but it felt like...
So you don't have to spend time on the CG.
Yeah. So it's just like, let's just, you know, put him in shadow. Because in anime, they show him all the time.
Yes. He's always like floating in the air.
Yeah. But in this, there's like the one time he's in the closet. And they don't even show him. And then, you know...
The apple.
Yeah. Light just sets the apple there. And then, you know, he eats it and throws it out. But it felt like that bothered me a little bit. It's like, on the one hand... by not showing him a lot, it didn't make it look too... It didn't, like, pull you your sense of disability, you know, it didn't kind of pull you out, like, oh, here's this, you know, weird demon thing. That's not real, even though the whole concept's not real. But yeah, and then when they did show him, sometimes it's like, God, it doesn't look... You know, that CG's not that great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, there's been some... Unless that's just the way they wanted him to look. You know, but it didn't seem... that smooth or like complete, and maybe because a lot of it was dark and in shadows. But yeah, we had him, but they hardly really explain like where he came from, and you know, we didn't get to see his dimension and the other Shimigamis and all that, and the fact that, you know, he had the extra book and didn't really
they didn't really focus on his backstory a lot.
They did have a lot more rules.
Yeah, I was noticing that. I was like, that looks really complicated, and I was wondering if I had just forgotten that it was.
Yeah, because in the beginning there's just a few rules, but in the Netflix one there's like pages and pages mm-hmm. of rules, and I forgot, because they even looked at like rule 52 or you know, so that was kind of crazy there. And then we had Light, or not Light, L.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on L, Netflix L.
I liked him.
Okay. He was good in the beginning, and he kind of captured some of the essence, you know, eating candy. The candy, but you didn't like that one part.
No, that bothered me. Who eats candy like that? Like, he just made such a mess that could have been easily avoided.
There's like a jar of candy. Mm-hmm. He just slams his hand into it.
It was so aggressive.
And as he does it, you know, a bunch spills over to size, and he just grabs some and eats it. And it's just like, if you like candy that much,
you're not gonna want to waste it.
Exactly. You're gonna, you know, carefully take one or whatever, and so you don't want it to fall over. And you know, maybe he'll just scoop it up. But if it falls on the floor,
yeah, that's disgusting.
Is a table clean? Is it dusty? And
probably dusty.
So there was all that, but he did do some of the different things, like kind of standing on a chair, like crouching.
There's a kid in my class that does that. It always reminds me of him. So I just started thinking of Death Note during class.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure there's a reason. You know, why the kid in your class does it, and why L does it. But we had all that. It was in order to speed things up, like they had him go out on camera right away. You know, mm-hmm. he had his turtleneck or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was out in public a lot. And I always commented, like, back when you see like the Westerns or whatever, and you know, mm-hmm. people wear the bandanas and stuff like that. A lot of times when you see people's eyes, you know, whatever, yeah. you know, that it's just because you don't see the bottom of their nose or mouth. I mean, if you see them again later, you can still tell. And I always say the example was when the very first trailer for The Flash with Grant Gustin, mm-hmm. when they showed that, because, you know, so I showed, a mom saw it, and it's mm-hmm. like she recognized him right away.
Sebastian.
She recognized him from Glee. So he was wearing the so that's an example where if you know the person, if you're really familiar with them, a mask doesn't necessarily
yeah.
hide things. So L was just covering the bottom of his face, which was weird. It's, you know, so if he's going out in public like that, someone could just pull it down.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he's got like no security on there. But then what bothered me, where it really started bothering me with the pacing, was he confronts L. He confronts Light. I keep messing up because they both have L's. Yeah. So he confronts him, right? He accuses him, and you know they're sitting in that diner, that restaurant, or whatever.
They had like electricity that wasn't working.
Yeah,
that was weird.
And he's just sitting there, like they're talking so loud, and it's like, dude, you shouldn't be telling everyone that you're L. You know, because yeah. his whole identity is supposed to be a secret and all that. But yeah, so that's just one of the changes they made for the sake of the movie and for the time and all that. But then it's like L started becoming unbalanced, mm-hmm. like really quickly. And that didn't seem, I can't see the anime version being like that. So mm-hmm. when Watari is like his assistant, he's probably known him since he was young at the orphanage or something yeah. like that. So in the Netflix version, what Light makes Watari do something. So he's like, he's gone. You know, he's trying to find out what L's real name is. And L starts freaking out when, you know, he doesn't know where Watari is and what, and he just starts getting more and more unhinged, you know, and then he grabs a gun where, you know, he's even said before that he doesn't carry a gun because he doesn't like them.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was very out of character. So even though he was attached to Watari and, you know, had this loyalty to him, he just kept really going, you know, because he takes a police car, a cruiser, he just backs it up, smashes into another one,
yeah.
which is totally unnecessary. And he's just driving like a man, driving down the street, driving down the sidewalk. It's like no, L wouldn't do that.
No.
So we had all that. And then just the end was a little cheesy. Yeah. I said when they're in that the Ferris wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the song that they started playing that I was singing along.
Yeah.
So it's a song by Chicago, and it's a song from the 80s, which it just, I did not expect to hear that song in the movie. It was just like not what I expected. Chicago, since you're not really familiar with them, mm-hmm. they were like a light rock band.
Okay.
So some people would say, oh, that's like wimpy music, you know, because it was kind of light and, you know, did like kind of like love songs and touchy-feely stuff like that, you know, not real like your tough, you know, heavy metal or anything yeah. like that. But it was just funny to see that song or hear it in there. But the ending I kind of liked the way the last, the twists and turns and stuff that
yeah,
happened
there. Yeah, it was because they finally worked in how he always had like a plan mm-hmm. ready.
So that showed, because yeah, there was a lot of layers to it, and, mm-hmm. and so he really was conniving or whatever to make everything work there. So that was kind of cool. And then the way it's going to end, it kind of seemed like, oh, you're leaving it open where it could go. You know, there could be more. But then also, maybe there can't be more.
Yeah.
Because the way it ended, it's like, well, you're not really sure what's going to happen. And I don't know how I feel. Part of me is just like, okay, let's not have another one, because just L just seems so out of character by the end of the movie. He was just like obsessed and just not being rational. So I don't know. It was just weird. A lot of people are angry because Death Note is a beloved anime. You know, a lot of people care about it, and then they feel like it wasn't done. You know, they didn't do it justice, which, you know, they didn't. They could have, it could have been good.
Yeah.
Could have been better, but they, for whatever reason, it's just, it's too bad. And then it's the same thing with Ghost in the Shell.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw that over the summer, and we watched the anime first.
Yeah.
And then watching the movie, where the movie was okay. You know, it was better than the Death Note movie. but, you know, obviously it was different. They kind of changed a little bit. And you know, but that had the same thing. You know, people complained. Scarlett Johansson.
Well, like, that movie had changes, but I didn't mind the changes made to that movie as much as I mind the one that were made to Death Note.
Yeah. And some of what they did is they incorporated some things from, like, the sequel or from the series. They kind of added a couple things there. So I don't think there'll be a sequel to that, because I don't think it did too well. And they're probably going to be like, it's not worth it, because, you know, I'm sure there's people complaining and death threats and and all that as well. That's unfortunate that happens. All right, so let's see. Is there anything else? So that's Death Note.
Yep.
Anything else you want to touch on?
No, I don't think so.
Then let's talk about some comics. So in the first episode, we talked about Secret Empire. So this is going to be spoilers. So there's your warning. I'm not going to cover all the comics, but just a few of the big ones we'll discuss. So with Secret Empire, you know, Captain America was evil. He was changed by the Cosmic Cube, the sentient Cosmic Cube, Kobik, and he was with Hydra, changing everything, caused the death of Rick Jones and, was it not American Flag, Jack Flag, that's his name, and Black Widow, all this. But then the essence of the good Cap was still around, so they fought, good Cap won. Someone asked, because I wrote an article, and so I was either in there or on Twitter. Someone's like, "Well, what happened to Bad Cap?" And I was like, "He probably just disappeared, because, you know, we don't need different version of Cap." But in the Secret Empire Omega, which is kind of an epilogue, so we find out that there's this like secret prison called Shadow Pillar, where, you know, it's not on American soil, but they would keep like terrorists and all these, you know, dangerous men. So we see, you know, there's like SHIELD soldiers there, and someone's breaking in, and then we find out that Evil Cap is still alive, that he's being kept in this prison. So Good Cap, Steve Rogers, he breaks in there to kind of confront him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they kind of have this conversation, and like Evil Cap, he's like, "You're not going to kill me," because basically he's saying, he's like, I know you, you know, I know what's going in your mind, you're not going to do this. So, you know, they just have this big long discussion about that. And so the other things that we find out here, you know, they start talking about Black Widow's funeral, and you see Hawkeye, because Hawkeye and Black Widow, like right before, they kind of were getting together. So he's, you know, he's distraught that, you know, he couldn't save her. And then watching, they decided to televise the funeral, and we see Bucky Barnes is watching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was saying, you know, like, once upon a time, that would have been me grieving, because, you know, they were always together. But instead of grieving, he's going after, he's like hunting down some guy, and then he's trying to find out, like, who's this target? So there's this general guy who sided with Hydra during Secret Empire and all that. So Bucky goes, you know, he finds him, and then this general guy gets assassinated. So he gets shot. And then, you know, Bucky's just standing there as everyone's freaking out. And then he's like, I recognize everything about that. He's like, that was Black Widow. And then, you know, you see the target goes on him. So he's convinced she's still alive. But the question is, how the heck is she still alive? Because her neck basically got snapped or got hit when, she, you know, she got hit by Cap's shield. You know, accidentally was killed. So mm-hmm. it turns out somehow she might still be alive because Kobik didn't resurrect anyone that was killed, which she should have.
Yep.
You know, because again, it was her fault, but she decided not to. So we had that. But then the other interesting thing, there was some stuff with the mutants, which that was, you know, they had like their own nation because evil Steve, he's like, I don't want to fight the mutants. You guys can have this area. That'll be, but you have to stay there. If you come into quote unquote American soil, you know, we're going to attack you or whatever. Another development was the Punisher is starting to hunt down Hydra soldiers because he sided with evil Cap because Cap told him, you know, with the Cosmic Cube, we can change everything. I think he basically insinuated, I can bring your family back. Mm-hmm. You know, we can make everything better. And he kind of bought into it. So now he realized that he made a mistake. So he just wants to get rid of, like, Hydra. So he's hunting them down. And then as he's attacking them, Nick Fury Jr., sees him and says he's ready. So I think Punisher is going to become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. type of thing. Like, they're going to use him. Because they're probably like, okay, he's taking his war on crime. You know, he's changing it to a war on Hydra. Let's use that to our advantage. You know what? They may not approve of his methods, but I think they're going to use them. They're like, hey, he wants to get rid of Hydra, so do we. Let's take advantage of that. And it's also interesting. Good Cap. He told about when they were trying to help people from the destruction that there's this kid that was trapped, and then, you know, he reached out to him, and then the kid like pulled back his hand. So that's one of the, it's not a good thing, but I'm glad that they're kind of doing this, that there's some repercussion about this. That people, even though the fight between Evil Cap and Cap was televised, they're not just going to forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still some people who are like, wait a minute, you know, you were just evil and caused, you know, destroyed all this stuff. So that's something that, you know, he's going to have to deal with. And one of the things that Good Steve said, he's like, it was easy for you. He's like, I made things easy for you, you know, because he spent his whole life fighting for all this stuff. And then Evil Cat just basically tricked them. And, you know, he used all that trust and did that. It's also the other thing the Evil Cap said. He's like, I can't go on trial. You can't put me on trial because I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't commit any crimes. Everything that he did was within the law, you know, because they made a law. Like, if some big, you know, catastrophic event happens, you know, we'll put the whoever's in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, in charge and all this stuff. So he just manipulated everything and it just worked out. But then at the end, you know, so the alarm goes off. And so it's time for Good Steve to leave. As the guards come in and they kind of slam him against the wall, one of them goes up to him and whispers, Hail Hydra. So is Evil Cap gonna come out? Because then he just has a smile on his face. So it's just like,
I don't know.
I mean, I was assuming that they were just gonna, he just disappeared. He's just gonna get rid of him. Because we don't need, you know, another Captain America running around, but they're probably like, this is too good of an enemy to just throw away. So they're gonna keep him around. What?
Why does the Hydra symbol only have 6 tentacles? Like, why not 8? Because they look tattoo? Like Well, they look like octopus tentacles.
I don't know. But what was interesting? Someone also asked that you know that the I showed you when Cap hits him with Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And you know his arm, he had that armor and it kind of cracked. You can see his chest because someone's like, I thought he had a tattoo, you know, the Hydra tattoo, but then he didn't have it. In this issue, he has it again. Because I said, well, maybe, you know, he hit him so hard with Mjolnir, it knocked the ink off of him, but he still has it. So we'll have to see. Another issue that came out, Amazing Spider-Man 32. So this is really about Norman Osborn. But one of the things I totally forgot about this, the art was by Greg Smallwood. Look at this art. Mm. So this guy, he did Moon Knight for a while, and then now Norman Osborn is trying to, let's see, where do we go with Norman Osborn? So Spider-Man injected him with these like nanobite things that's kind of blocking the goblin formula from working. So Norman is, you know, his face is messed up from, you know, he doesn't care about that, but he's kind of bummed that he can't hear the crazy voices, you know, he wants the goblin back, but he can't. So he tries doing all this stuff, getting acupuncture and all. And then finally, the acupuncturist, like, there's somewhere you can go. And there's this, like, you know, go to this trek to this, you know, monastery, whatever. And so you read this and they're like, you know, okay, touch this emerald thing. And basically, they're going to teach him magic. It's like, why? And because he's training, so he's doing, you know, he's learning all this stuff and meditating. He's like, Norman reads all these other stories. He's like, there's also stories and tales of other men that I've ever met or heard of. And they're like Mordo, Strange, Von Doom. So it's like the same thing. It's like, why would you teach him this dark magic and all this? And then they're saying, so, like, your final thing is, oh, because they all have different names. Like, one's Master Ox, one's Master, I forget the other ones, but they're like, those names weren't necessarily chosen for us, or we didn't choose the names, but you'll get a vision. You'll see, you know, what comes to you. So as he's meditating, this big tiger comes. So that's like, that was like the final test, is when he finally has this vision. So he can take the totem of the tiger, but instead he's like, no, he's like, I don't accept this. I'm going to choose my own destiny. So he grabs a goblin mask. And then, because he has all this magic now, he transports Spider-Man there. Because, you know, Spider-Man, he was going to get like a chocolate sprinkles, like some yogurt or ice cream. So he just brings him there. And then, so now Spider-Man's fighting this magic amped up Norman Osborn. And, you know, eventually Norman Osborn defeats him. And then they're like, you've defeated him. And he's like, no, he's like, that's it. He's like, he deserves more than that. He's like, I'm not going to just, you know, I'm going to keep going. So then they're like, we have to stop you. And he's like, you can't stop me. And then we find out that it was like all a test.
Oh, okay. That reminds me of some weird like twist on Stephen Strange's story.
Yeah. So then Norman Osborn, he didn't get all that stuff. But now, because he saw his potential that he could have done all that. So where is that going to lead him next?
Oh, God.
So this was a really interesting one. I love the art. And the other thing, I mean, this, it didn't really have a lot of Spider-Man in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it was all mainly about Green Goblin. So that was cool. with all new Wolverine. So, let's see, backing up. The previous arc, this alien came, the ship crashed on Earth. And there was this alien, you know, speaking some language, and she says Laura Kinney. She says X-23's name, and then she dies. And so everyone's like, why did she, you know, how does she know who X-23 is, or Wolverine? And then there was this disease that was killing all these people, and it turned out that Laura's healing factor, she could, like, save people. And then, you know, she had to do all this stuff, and she was, like, almost dying because she was pushing all this. So they tried to track down where this alien came from. And then her quote-unquote sister, her cloned sister, there's a clone of her, Gabby. Gabby and the real, they have a real Wolverine that Squirrel Girl gave them. And she and Gabby is calling the Wolverine Jonathan. But what happened in the last issue is the Brood. So these are like this X-Men alien. So basically they lay an egg in you, and then you turn into these big spidery things. So this right here is Gabby. Gabby got turned into a Brood. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't know if I mentioned it, that she was with them. Yeah, so there's Star-Lord.
Is that Gamora?
Yeah. And yeah, so she's how she looks in the comics. She's got the yellow.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, she's not Gabby anymore. We got to go. And then she's like, no. You know, so, you know, Laura refuses to give up on her. Here's Jonathan. So he even has like a little outfit and there's baby Groot. And so Jonathan got injured the last issue and Groot's, you know, trying to, or not Groot, Rocket's trying to save him.
So cute. I'm tearing up.
What? Who?
He's so cute.
Who?
That guy.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
Okay, just wait. So they have to leave, you know, because there's all this like, these scientists on this moon. They're like, we need to just destroy the moon because it's overrun by the brood. So you're going to try to escape. But Laura is hearing Gabby's voice. And they're like, that's not her. You know, she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so she takes the jetpack and she goes, she confronts her. And they're like, she's, because of her healing factor, the brood take on the abilities, you know, the genetic abilities of their host. Uh-huh. So they're like, if she gets out, then she's going to, you know, have a new wave of brood that are unstoppable with this healing factor.
Mm.
But then as they're yeah. talking, there's a
whoosh. That is so nasty.
But then look, and she even says, that was so gross.
Yeah.
Gabby, her healing factor kicked in. She was able to come out, so she's fine.
That is disgusting.
But then look, she's like, Jonathan. And she's like, is he okay? And Groot's like, ask him yourself. I got sick of trying to guess what he was saying, so I stuck a universal translator on him.
He can talk. He's so cute.
He can talk a little bit. But see,
he's hungry.
Thank you. You an angry one. Thank you. Save me. Give me home. Liking me.
Oh.
We'll die for you. Also, am hungry.
So cute.
So now Jonathan the Wolverine can actually talk.
Oh my goodness. This. Oh, I want one.
So, yeah. So, there, again, Squirrel Girl decided to visit them and she got a real Wolverine and she's like, here. And they're like, Laura's like, what are you doing? So, so now they have a real Wolverine. All right. Let's see what other comic should we talk about? There are some cool things that happened in this week's Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider. I've been kind of on the fence about this since Jackal brought him and kind of he was kind of evil and all this stuff. So I think I'm going to try to write an article about that. The Runaways came back, the series. So there's new number one. It's there. What happens, I didn't expect to happen. So you're going to want to check that out. And then jumping over to DC, there's a couple books we want to talk about. Let's start with Superman, or Action Comics. Back in 2014, there is this dude named Mr. Oz, or just Oz. He's kind of behind the scenes, and he seemed to know a lot about Superman. So it's like, who is this guy? How does he even know? He's talking about like Superman's true potential. He could do all this stuff. And then when Rebirth happened, was it last year? I think it was last year.
Yeah,
when I flew down to Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
So we found out that there's a Watchmen connection. So Dr. Manhattan's there. So everyone's assuming, oh, if Dr. Manhattan's around and manipulating the DC Universe, then maybe Oz is Ozymandias, who did a bunch of stuff in Watchmen. So we find out in this issue, just 987, we're supposed to find out who Mr. Oz is. He starts kind of influencing all this bad stuff to happen, because he's basically saying that the people have this potential for all these horrible things. Like, you know, here's this hunter. You know, Rhino's protected, and they kill the hunter just for the horns. There's a ship captain, like an oil rig, he's getting drunk. And so it's about to crash and spill oil, and
there's seals.
And baby sea lions or whatever.
Seal.
And then there's, you know, these kids working in a sweatshop and, you know, forced to work there. And so all this bad stuff. Oh, there's controversy over this part here. So these were our illegal aliens or illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy, he's he's like real mad, you know, he's like they're taking jobs and working for cheaper wages and all this stuff. So he's just gonna kill him, and then Superman saves them. Some people got angry about this because they're saying how Superman is an illegal immigrant.
Oh my god.
And then he's fighting for us. So it's just like, come on, people. And you know, so yeah, we're not gonna get into that whole discussion, but people get mad about everything. So like all this bad stuff's happening at the same time. Superman's trying to figure out, like, you know, the oil ship, you know, smashes, ecological disaster. And then, you know, there's some medicine that people are trying to steal for, you know, I forgot, Logamba, as a vaccine that could, you know, cure all these people. And you know, people like just stole it and caused all this destruction. So Superman's angry, and then Oz shows up. So Superman has seen Oz a couple times, doesn't know who he is. Oh, Oz also, when Doomsday attacked, he teleported Doomsday away. So he has Doomsday locked up. So it's like, yeah. Why is he doing that? Tim Drake has been locked up too. He took him away. Batman thinks he's dead, because there was like all these drones that were going to attack people all over the city, but Tim hacked into them and made them all target him so he could fight them and save all the other people. But then as they all shot at him, it appeared that he was just like, he disintegrated.
Yeah.
But really what happened is Mr. Oz teleported him away right before that happened.
Okay.
So he's locked up. And I think the reason was because Tim's so smart, he figured it, like, Tim could figure it out, like who his identity was, or something. But then Oz teleports Superman away. He's like, let's go somewhere else to talk. So they go to the Fortress of Solitude. And he's like, how'd you come here? And you know, because he's been there before. But then he's like, had I only known what a cesspool this place is, I'd have sent you somewhere better.
Deja vu.
I showed you this the other day. I was like, look at this. And then Superman's like, sent. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I fashioned a spacecraft that enabled you to escape Krypton's demise. I sent you here, Kyle. And he's like, you can't possibly mean.
No.
We find out who Oz is. He's
Jor-El.
Messed up Jor-El. So how the heck did he survive?
His eye is nasty.
Yeah, his eye's all nasty. It's a little shadowy, so is there like some kryptonite or embedded in there, or is just if the planet blew up, you know, because half of his hair is like singed off.
So, get a wig.
Okay. So somehow he escaped, so unless he went into the Phantom Zone or something and, you know, suffered, you know, some scarring and hair burnt and stuff like that. But what's weird, because recently Zod was in Suicide Squad, of all places. Zod was pulled out of the Phantom Zone, and then Amanda Waller implanted I think I showed you, she implanted a bomb in Zod's neck or head that should use him as, you know, a member of the Suicide Squad. He escapes, or he broke out, because remember I showed you he like uses heat vision and blew up, like he basically pulled a bomb out of his head. But then after that, Zod, Hank Henshaw, Cyborg Superman, Eradicator, and someone else, they were attacking Superman. And so, you know, there's this big fight there. But during all of this, Mr. Oz, Jor-El, didn't try to do anything. So here, Zod is like, he used to be his friend, but then it became his enemy and all that stuff. And he's just lets his son fight this battle. Mm-hmm. Superman was temporarily blind during that, and he didn't do anything. So that was kind of weird. But we'll have to see what that is. Now, it's possible maybe this isn't Jor-El, you know, some trick.
Yeah.
But I think that this is really going to be him. So it'll be interesting to see what the heck, what are they doing, and why is he like this, and what's he been doing all this time?
Yeah.
So, and why is he evil? Does he just go crazy? Okay, the last one I want to talk about is Dark Knight's Metal. I don't remember if I told you about the first one of this. So
you showed me the picture.
Yeah. So all these people are after Batman. All this crazy stuff's going on. This is funny. Damian driving this big old van.
He's only 13.
Yeah. Because to Justice League, you know, Batman, he took, you know, he's got all the stuff and he's trying to do something. And everyone's after him because it's so dangerous if he takes this metal, these elements. But there's all these different Batman. So they're not sure which is the real Batman. And then so the Justice League is chasing him. And Wonder Woman's like, pull over now, Robin. There's no winning here. And then he's like, listen, lady, I'm 13 years old. I'm driving a bat hog through the Amazon on a Tuesday morning. I'm already winning.
I feel like I haven't accomplished anything.
Why? Because you're not Robin?
I'm older than him, and he's driving the bat hog.
So there's all the stuff, you know, all these people, these are like all the different, you know, they're not really Batman. They're using this technology to, you know, they can change
like
the space.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that changes. And they trick it. So the Justice League's out of commission. But then Superman, because he knows Superman, or because Superman knows Batman so well, he can recognize his heartbeat. So he knew that the other ones were fake. And he mm-hmm. knew that the real one was in the back at a bat hawk. So he flies in there, takes him, and, you know, because he's like, look at me. He's like, we're brothers. He's like, you know, whatever you're doing, he's like, you know, you can't do this on your own. We have to do this. And this is where he tells him. So this is where all this stuff ties into back, like what Scott Snyder did, you know, stuff with the Court of Owls. And then when Batman and Joker fought in the bottom of the Batcave, there was this Dionysium, the stuff that basically resurrected him. And that's when Batman came back and he was kind of reborn. You know, he didn't have any of the scars on his body, but he didn't have his memories. But then he uses Prometheum, and he had this machine that he built. Because he was going to try to make a thing so if he ever dies, his knowledge and everything could be transported to something else or someone else. Mm. So he was able to kind of come back. So there's all, and then there's stuff with like an nth metal. So all of these different metals can lead to this portal thing. But then they find out that Batman, you know, why is there, like, Wonder Woman, he says he's stalling, you know, why is he saying all this stuff? And then Superman punches Batman through the chest. But surprise, it was really Clayface. Because Clayface has been working with Batman, so there's like this little tracker thing or whatever he had. So Batman is off on his own, and he has a baby Darkseid, and see what Darkseid's doing with his hands?
Yeah.
So apparently, because, you know, remember the cover, the first cover was doing the devil horns, whatever. So every issue, there's supposed to be devil horns hidden somewhere in there. So baby Darkseid is doing that. So Batman wants to use Darkseid's Omega beams. So he's going to pull off the goggles, but then Superman and Wonder Woman are telling him you can't. And this goes back to, there's this Barbatos, this bat thing that's been kind of fighting Batman throughout time and all this stuff. And this goes back to a story that Grant Morrison did when Batman died, when Darkseid killed him, but then he went back in time and all this stuff. But it was a trap. The portal opens, and then we see all these Batmen from the dark multiverse. Look at all these. So here's like a, I don't know if that's like a, there's supposed to be like a Wonder Woman Batman. And then this one kind of looks like almost like Doomsday. And there's like this creepy guy.
Ew.
And he has like these little demon Robins like chained to him.
Oh,
this is the Wonder Woman one. It's like almost looks like Ares.
But then that's like Steampunk.
Oh no, it actually might be Aquaman.
Trident.
Yeah.
Trident.
Because there's one, they did this thing where they had a bunch of teasers. They showed that. So maybe she's like Aquaman, Mera. But yeah, this is kind of Steampunk. And then, so that's like Wonder Woman, like Ares. I think that one's...
It looks like, what? Zoom.
Oh, yeah. So I think it's Flash. Yeah, because when he's talking, it's kind of like speaking.
Like, he's moving his voice.
Yeah. I forget what his name is. And then, I don't know who this one's supposed to be at the end.
Looks oh, maybe like he's... Green Lantern.
Yeah, Green Lantern. Yeah, yeah.
Why is he so skinny?
Exactly. I don't know, because he's evil. But yeah, you can see the Green Lantern emblem. And then this big guy in the back, that's supposed to be Barbatos or whatever. So the idea was Batman's gone now. Because he was like a portal and like he's sent somewhere else. So all these evil ones are there. And then like Superman and Wonder Woman getting drained or essence or whatever. Because then in Teen Titans, they fight the Hellraiser looking Batman and his Robins.
Dude, those guys are nasty looking.
Not the little Robins?
Yeah, they remind me of like so many of those little robotic things that you see around Halloween.
Oh, yeah. So, crazy stuff happening in DC. Okay, so that is it for this week. Oh, Red Hood and the Outlaws was interesting. There's some weird stuff with Bizarro. So, yeah, here's at the Teen Titans where they're fighting.
That's weird.
Creepy.
Yeah. Ooh.
There's one little creepy Robin that looks like Joker. Let's see, where is he at? Flip. There he is.
Ew.
He's like, yes, Father.
Ooh, his eyes. I don't like that.
Maybe it's just makeup.
Makeup doesn't make your teeth look like that.
Well, because look at... Here's Riddler. See, he's got the same eye makeup.
But his eyes were like all red. Like, that looks cool. Well, maybe, he looks creepy.
Maybe he needs some Visine. Mm. His eyes got red eyes. Look how big. Okay.
That's... I like that. All the detail.
Yeah.
His highlight's better than mine.
Yeah. So that's a weird thing. So unfortunately, this is drawn by... You know, because there's going to be a bunch of tie-in issues... So I was like, I hope they're going to explore all the different versions of Batman that we just saw. But this one has art by Mirka Andolfo. So the art's pretty good in here. I like this art. But I'm afraid because when they do all these tie-in issues, sometimes the art in the other ones, it's not as good. Because Greg Capullo does art in the Dark Metal one. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. And then when you read another one, the art's just different. It's just like, ugh. But
yeah.
You know, you can't have one person draw everything. So that is Batman and Teen Titans. Okay, so we do have one question. This is from D9000. He says, I have a few questions. If you're not sure if either of you have watched it yet, but I want to hear your thoughts on the Defenders Netflix series. I've only seen two episodes as of September 13th, but you're pretty good at not spoiling things. So far, I've enjoyed it and can't wait to watch more. It's really nice to see Jessica Jones on screen again. So you haven't seen Defenders yet. You need to get caught up because there's just so much to watch. You still need to watch Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Defenders. I like Defenders. So I did a review for that. And a lot of people just don't like Iron Fist.
Why not?
You know, one, there's some controversy over the actor. But then some of the fight scenes, there's some cool fight scenes, but then a lot of them... weren't as cool as they should have been for, you know, all this, you know, a martial arts character. So, and he was a little whiny sometimes, but in Defenders, they kind of played on that a lot. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happened at his expense. So I don't mind the actor in there. I'm fine with it. So I enjoyed Defenders and I'd love to see more again, but there's going to be, they're currently working on Jessica Jones season 2. And then I don't know if, there's going to be Punisher. I think Punisher's next. And then, I have no idea when there will be Defenders. It'll probably be Daredevil season 3 and Luke Cage season 2. And then D9000 says, if you can remember it, I'd also like to hear your final thoughts on Iron Fist series. So, yeah, I kind of mentioned it. The ending was interesting. It left a big cliffhanger, which is kind of addressed in the beginning of Defenders. But there's still some things that they don't talk about. So... that would have to be in Iron Fist season 2. So D9000, I just finished it recently. It was a series I was most excited for, which ultimately led to the biggest disappointment I have with Marvel Netflix so far. The series had some nuggets of inspiration, could be given an average rating, but they could have done so much more. So your biggest complaint was the action scenes. So yeah. Okay, so that is it from D9000. I think that is it. I mentioned we are going to be doing like kind of like a bonus podcast, but that's only going to be available through Patreon. That won't show up on the normal podcast feeds. I may put them up as a separate podcast later. I don't plan on it, though, anytime soon. So this is going to be for the Jimmy Olsen level tiers on Patreon and above, where it'll just kind of be commentary over. I guess I won't spoil what it is just yet, what we'll be talking about. But there will be, if you are at the Jimmy Olsen tier or above, you can see the post on Patreon. Or if you're not at that level, it will pop up in the next day or so. So if you'd like to help us again, patreon.com/gmanfromheck. It would help out a lot. Next week, we have some plans for the next week. We're actually flipping things around to talk about something else first that we haven't been able to talk about. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Bye.